Hello friends, we are studying the subject of consumer buyer behavior. We are on chapter 3, which is on consumer research. Consumer behavior and research go generally hand in hand. Consumer behavior, as we have so far understood a little bit, is so dynamic and changing that you require a support of consumer research to constantly be aware about the behavior of the consumers while buying your product. So, few objectives set for us is to, of course, understand the decision making, how the consumer makes the decision. So, decision making process and how the research tool helps in that process of marketing, doing the consumer research, the objective, better understanding of how to frame a good objectives for the research, and various methodologies involved. So, methodologies for gathering the information, qualitative, quantitative aspects of marketing research or a consumer research, and psychological and motivational aspects. So, there are research which are specifically oriented towards capturing psychological or a motivational aspect. So, we will get a gist of that also as we move forward. Essentially, research, when you say consumer research, so to say, it's about the consumer need identification. Fundamental marketing is driven by the need, as you say. So, now the need needs to be identified. For identifying such a need, you need to meet customer, you need to ask them as to what are their need, etc. So this is what, when it is done, it is known as a science of marketing research. As per the definition, to manage a business well is to manage its future, and to manage the future means to manage the information. This is by Marian Harper. Information is nothing but your better understanding about the customer needs, what customer centricity or customer satisfaction, etc., so to say, vis-a-vis the competition. So that's what is the gist. Research covers aspects like the quantitative data, the qualitative aspects also, something which is behavioral, something which is in the mind, the black box, so to say. Psychological aspects, what drives my certain behavior, what drives me towards or against you, etc. Behavioral aspects, why do I behave like that? You know, so that's what, why does customer behave like this, is a behavioral aspect. So, there are techniques, and one such is in-depth interview. They help you with the psychological and behavioral aspects, etc. So this is a gist of it, what the marketing research may cover. We will be understanding it in better. Today, the consumer research is why relevant, because there are each variable in the marketing mix are there, and consumer research can help you get a better insight on each. So I have given you the need understanding while developing a new product, and also that's a P as a product. Price elasticity. So, what is the rise in the price will impact? Will the rise in price impact my demand, or what percentage rise will impact what percentage of my demand, etc.? So, that's about the elasticity. Persuasion, promotional appeal. So, that's on another P, so to say, the place where my customer will prefer to buy. So, that's about. So, you see that the research can help you to address any problem on the areas of four P's of marketing. This is a 7-step process. I am not going to say discuss this now, as we are going to cover them one by one. Starts with the problem identification, objective setting, the secondary data, then construction of the research design, information collection, analysis, and you present it as a finding. In other words, the consumer research is this, and it's a systematic design-based research where data is collected, and then analysis is done over it, and report is made, and the specific situation or the problem is addressed in that findings. So findings, when derived, it addresses a specific marketing situation or the problem. So that's what is research is all about. So this is the 7-step process of a research or consumer research. It starts with defining the marketing problem. Then comes the defining the objective. Then comes the collection of the secondary data. Collecting and evaluating, making a meaning out of it. Do you get the sufficient insight from the secondary data sources and the analysis that you have done? If yes, prepare the report. If no, then you have to get into doing a primary research. So primary research requires you to develop your methods. The sample needs to be fixed up. Instrument, that's how you will collect the data. Then the actual data collection takes place, the analysis and the presentation of the findings through a report. So this is a 7-step process that one need to understand. Okay. So construction out here that has been mentioned here is covered here only. Okay. So moving on, the first one is the identifying the marketing problem. First, you should be clear about what is your problem. Here it has been represented here that does research provide information to the marketing manager? So that's the market research. Market manager uses the data or the analysis or the inferences that he got from the research to solve his marketing problem. He has to solve the marketing problem. So here one example, if your sale of beauty cream is going, what is your problem? How will you put your problem? So is it due to the product not liked? So anything to do with the product, or is it a preference shift taking towards the competition, or does competition, you know, consumers have found some other alternative? So while you define your problem, it is not beauty sale falling and the do the research. It is like you must specify what is the problem or what area of the problem that you want research agency to probe. Next is an important phase is an objective. So objective is two classification, general objective and a specific objective. Objective emerge from your set marketing problem. Once you have defined your problem correctly, the main objective will come in. Okay. So you have general objective, which is a example is the problem is identifying low utilization for child welfare. Suppose the problem is why the child welfare fund is low utilized, then the objective could be that you study what is the reason why people don't come to the child welfare association or the child welfare clinic. So you have one is a from the main problem, you derive what you call a general objective. That is something that you want an answer on. That is what something you want research to address. However, it can be sliced into specific objectives. So this main objective may consist of certain other sub-objectives. This sub-objective has to be still aligned with the problem, still aligned with the main objective. It cannot be distinctly different. So they are all in alignment. So one need to form a good problem with a very clear this thing, aspect as to what needs to be probed, then form your specific, form your general objective, which is a broad objective, which is what the research has to address. It may have a specific objective, which is slicing of the general objective, but they have to align with the general objective and the marketing problem. It cannot be a distinctly different objective being set suddenly out of the blue. So you are studying about why the beauty cream sale is falling. You can't have a sub objective saying that the advertising effectiveness. I'm just trying to help you to understand. This is a secondary data. Don't worry about being complicated, but it's like a published, readily available data from any external sources is collected towards the problem that you are trying to understand. Now, while you do that, there are certain aspects that one need to remember. That is what is out here. Okay, so is my data helpful? Is it for the specific period? Is it among the specific target group that I am looking at? Does it have an authenticity of a data, the methodology, who's conducted this, how old it is? So will it stand in today's time also? So these are some of the aspects that one look at it. When you receive a secondary data, it is meant to even analyze for the problem that you have in mind. Many times what happens, secondary data and when they are inferred upon, you may get answer to your problem. If you do not get an answer, then you move forward. As I told you here, do you get sufficient insight? If yes, prepare a report. But if no, you go forward. Okay. So that's what one does it out here. So that's the significance of secondary report. It is available to you from many sources. So I'm not getting into it. Then comes, you have a need to conduct a primary research. In that case, the research design will come. So research design will consist of, you have either a research which is quantitative in nature or a qualitative in nature. So your research design will have to determine for addressing this as a problem, whether you need a qualitative research or a quantitative research. Qualitative is to do with the mind, behavior, psychographic, psychology, personality, etc. Then it's a qualitative. A quantitative is to do with something, what percentage shift in my pricing will possible without affecting my demand. So then that's a quantitative. Or what is the age, in the teenager, how many percentage of people will prefer my product? So again, it's a quantitative in nature. What is the demand estimate for my product among the teenagers of India? So again, a quantitative research. So, designing a primary research, the quantitative part, yani if it's a quantitative research, then there are types of quantitative research. That is what has been out mentioned here. Observation method, for experimentation method and survey method. We will study them, but I will just to give you, you observe a behavior. That's an observation. Behavior of a consumer in real life or behavior of a consumer in a created environment, as the case may be. So that's a observation of the consumers. A created environment is a more an experiment. You are doing a laboratory experiment. Okay, you may do it also in the market. Experiment may be also in the market, wherein in different shop, different types of offer, different shop, different types of products have been put, etc. To you see that. So where things are moving, different copy matter, different offers, etc. Survey method. It's a using of a questionnaire to get the customers to respond. So these are the three methods under research design. Under the qualitative, you have things like in-depth interviews, the focus group interviews or focus group discussion, FGD as it is known as, and a projective technique, which is a kind of a technique which enables you to allow consumer to project something. From there you derive your inferences. So we will get into understanding some of them little better. So what is observation method? Remember, we are studying the third phase of research design. Under research design, this is a process step research design. Under that, quanti, quali, as I told you, and in the quantitative, there are three methods. One is the observational research method. The best way to gain the observational insight about how the consumer behavior is to see them in real life, see them in real situation when they are actually buying a product. So under this method, observations are made. Observations are made of a consumer behavior at a particular counter. Now, observations are made either in person or through a camera recording or as the case may be, or there are eye tracking instruments also, etc. But this is what you observe a consumer and derive an inferences. Okay. Naturally, it is more appropriate to observe consumer in any store instead of asking him about what brand he purchases, why he purchases, etc. at his house or outside is the shop, etc. So that's a crux of the observation method. There are 8 classification of the observation methods that we need to understand. So we just discussed about that there are 8 classifications. So what are they? So let's understand the natural versus contrived. So natural surroundings versus what you do it in a setup surrounding. That is one way of looking at disguise versus undisguised. Disguised is you do not reveal to the consumer that he or she is under observations, and undisguised is like you convey to consumers that you are under observation. So that way it is known to them and they do it and you try and get the observations done. Structured versus unstructured. Here it is like you have the ability, or rather you do it in such a way that consumer moves in a very structured way of his natural purchase cycle, while the unstructured is like you try to just allow the natural things to happen and then you derive your message. Direct versus indirect, in the sense there is a specific objective for which there is a direct this thing is possible. So selection of the product, how it is happening. So here the consumer comes and asks for the brand and that has been given to the consumer, or consumer may ask for a brand but the salesman offers, madam ye bhi hai iske saath, which one choose, yani this is acha, this is better, etc. And then whether in that case also consumer says ki nahi mujhe wo hi chahiye wagera. So that way you try to do a direct versus indirect approach, etc. Human versus mechanical. Human is involved, yani where only person observes things and makes his noting, etc. Mechanical is like there is a camera, there is an eye reader, etc. In a shopping mall or in a shopping rack, behind there is a camera. So consumer looking at this, etc. are captured. And accordingly, they know that they looked at more at this shampoo or this product, etc. This category of product, etc. So that way, so these are the classifications. Not to spend much onto it. And advantage of this observation research, it does not rely on respondent's willingness. And it is like respondent is in a natural surrounding and he's been observed. Respondent is not like, agreeing. Yes, in a direct or in a undisguised this thing, respondent's this thing may be taken. Bias is minimized or reduced because you are allowing the natural things to happen. Last but not the least, in observation method allows capturing behavior. Behavior is captured in the most natural surrounding. Therefore, it is supposedly more realistic. Of course, there are limitations to this research method. It doesn't capture psychographic, etc., awareness, belief, preferences, etc. So those aspects which are more to the character and the mind are not being captured in this. Inability to observe intimate details. The selection is a result of various factors. Now, you are not able to really see that intimate this thing when customer looked at the product, whether he looked at the, you know, calorie chart or whether he looked at the product ingredients, etc. You may not be able to, you know, such kind of thing. Additionally, it can capture observations at a specific location based. Now, this reading in this particular location surrounding may not be realistic, may not be right for other locations, or done on a limited population. Presumption is that it is applicable to a larger population, that also may not be right. Costly method, because you have to really plan, you know, you have to compensate the retailer, you have to like literally like have more shops, etc., to cover, and also as a result, it's only done for a very real need scenario, or a new product, really a new product which has a high stake involved, etc. So then next is the experiential research method. Experiential research method, here the sale is a result of many marketing variables. So marketing variable has an impact on the sale taking place. Experiential research allows you to determine which variable has a larger impact. So it could be product design, campaign design, it could be campaign offer, price, etc. So these are the variables, the promotion that has been offered, etc. You try to manipulate one variable. You try to manipulate one variable, keeping other variable at same time. Okay, now when you do that, it offers you an opportunity. Now, this will be launched at a multi-location, multi-shops, say like in Ghatkopar and surrounding area, you have kept price lower while everything else is same. However, in say Pedder Road and in say like Mahalakshmi area, you have price higher, and then you try to observe things. Now, this will tell you that does the price have any impact on the product purchase or not. Or you put a different copy in Ghatkopar area, different copy or the offer in the Mahalakshmi area, and try and see which offer is working more. So that way it's an experiential research. So it will help you to determine the most appealing variable. So which variable? So also you can have a multiple variable studied, and from there you can determine which is the most powerful variable that has an impact on consumer selection. So say one variable, if I take packaging design. So same market, you introduce different outlet, you different packaging designs you do, and the sales performance will be therefore monitored. So does the packaging design have any impact on the product selection or the rejection? So it's the most useful during test marketing. So concept marketing, test marketing, etc. Do this kind of a research. So we are studying the advantage. Data accuracy also is one important advantage. While the variables tend to change, however, the data collected in relation to the variable is like more realistic. So the accuracy of the data is high. There are limitations. It can only study the current behavior. Means it is a reflection of the current behavior. It cannot be generalized as a general behavior. It also costly. And this particular experiential method is also costly, complex, time consuming, requires sufficient time to really create this experiment. You need to give a time for this experiment, etc. Then comes the third, under the quantitative. Third approach or third method or third technique, as you say, is a survey research method. So essentially we are studying the different methods under quantitative. So here what you are doing is you identify a sample or you identify a person to contact, and then when you contact these people or a person, a series of questions in a preset order is being asked. Some questions will have a pre-fed options to answer, some will be open-ended. So that's what is, therefore it is known as a survey technique. You are meeting the person, you are collecting the data, and based on the data analysis, which is using a statistical tool, the data, because you are using in a manner collected, can apply the statistical tool techniques, etc., can be applied. Therefore, what comes out is a more realistic, quantifiable data. the form or the series of question, as I told you, that is tool is known as a questionnaire. So questionnaire will have a set of questions. Some will have pre-fed answers, some will be open, which is like reason why you gave that answer and any other, and those that is allowed to be given by the consumer as it is. It can be done in person, over the phone, or send an email, etc. So that's also advantage of it. Each of this method has its own relevant advantage, etc. So in person is better than the mail or a telephonic, etc. But however, in person takes time. A person has to be available, those kind of. So that's the one thing. It's a strong tool that allows you both kind of a data gathering, quantitative and qualitative. So most of the questions which are with the pre-fed options of the answer, you are actually quantifying it. And there are some questions which is answering reasoning, or which situation you will not buy this brand, or say which situation will compel you to change the brand. So those are remains open-ended, but that still reveals the mind of the consumers. Okay. This survey method is also advantageous for measuring attitude and motivation, as we are going to probably look back behind. Flexibility is very high, and you have a choice of way to ask questions, the kind of options to give there, etc. Data collection method, the timing can be managed well by putting more field force. You collect data in a less number of time, you meet more people in less number of time. So those are the advantage, the versatility which the survey method can offer. Its speed is relatively lower cost than the other two methods, please remember. Okay, survey technique is effectively used for various marketing problems. So it could be during the product planning stage, so product people use it, demand forecasting, yes, or a new product launch related things, etc., or the brand position, brand perceptions, etc. So these are various areas where the survey method is being used. Okay, we come to this quantitative survey method can be also done as follows. So these are the way the survey method can be done. Okay, I briefly touched while I was there. Personal interview, the mail, the telephone, and the internet survey. The new age, this thing is a internet survey. So we will quickly study this methods to do a quantitative survey. So survey is one of the method under quantitative research method. We are at a research process. We are understanding research process. And as you see on the top, the design a primary research, and under that we are studying various way to do things, quanti and quali, and we are studying quanti. So there are three methods to quanti. In one is the last one is a survey, and in the survey, how survey can be done, that is these four options. So let's study them. Persons are contacted face to face, the purpose of the meeting is conveyed, the prefix time and all is arrived, respondent is briefed about objectives, etc. Respondent feels that he is participating, doubts can be clarified, questions can be well structured and explained so that what you get is the right answer. Okay, different formation of a question has a psychological and a scientific logic behind. So, semantic differential scale, as we talk, or yes, no, even simple, or multiple choice questions. So, very open-ended, closed-ended. Closed-ended will have a specific answer. Open-ended will be open to consumer to tell what he feels about. So, it allows verification of an actual respondent, method of sampling. So, sampling this thing when defined. So, before doing a survey, before administering the questionnaire, the person is supposed to check whether this person meets the sampling criteria. So what you are, whom you are meeting is the right person whom you have met, and therefore a survey tends to have an inferences which is can be probability can be applied to the larger audience. So that's another advantage. You have a choice of using various supporting medium or a supporting tool. So you can show the exhibit, you can show advertisement, you can show cue cards, etc. to help customer, one is understand what the question is or give him a clarity of what kind of answer he is supposed to give. So that's why this is a very powerful, flexible method. Even you can do this aided, unaided response monitoring. So question is asked in such a way where probably you try to gather the unaided response, then you try to aid the customers. Which are the recent advertising on the automobile have you seen? So that's an unedited response. So will the customer say Bolero Neo, which is currently very high on television, say for example, he may or may not give. So then you create an edited response. Okay, sir, I will call out the name of the advertisement. You tell me whether you have observed. So then you call out Hyundai, you know, Alcazar, this, that, etc., Bolero Neo, and then customer says, yeah, yeah, I have seen Bolero Neo also. So that, but that's an added recall. So those kind of thing can be built into survey method. Profile literacy, etc., unless it is one of the sampling criteria, otherwise, because there is a person to explain the question, it can be administered even among illiterate people, and various nature of answers can be obtained. Like every method, this also has a limitations. You need a trained and experienced interviewer. The person who's doing this has to be trained. He should know the objective. He should know why this question is asked in this manner, what these options of the answer means, etc. This method is time consuming, means you have to really fix up a time, go to consumer when he's available, etc. Therefore, there is a cost involved. A respondent is also supposed to give the promised time. Otherwise, what happens, they call you and when you start an interview, you are supposed to have 45 minutes of the time. This respondent suddenly in 15 minutes tells you, boss, I have only now additional 5 minutes. Ask me whatever you want to ask. So, you are in a hurry and you may not complete the complete questionnaire. Interviewer's bias also starts coming in. Interviewer who's going and meeting various customers. Have built in his own observations ke bhai ye question mein log yahi answer karte hai, ye question mein yahi answer karte hai. Now this starts influencing while he narrates the questions. At times he tells even the respondent, sir isme to mostly logo ne ye bola hai vagera. So that way he starts feeding the bias, and that bias may become very big limitations. So coming to the mail survey method, there's a second. We studied the personal interview, everything about it. Now we come to the mail survey method. Here the approach and the subject is reached through a mail. A questionnaire is sent to the respondent. There is a covering letter which gives the objective, etc., gives them the reason why their participation will yield what kind of benefit, etc., and then indicates the prompt reply. There is a business reply cover, etc., also is provided so that respondent doesn't have to spend money, etc. This will facilitate a respondent knowing that, you know, he has to spend less time, no money, other resource to be utilized, and therefore they participate. Of course, such thing may require a follow-up for knowing whether questionnaire has received or not, whether he has answered or not, if not, by when will he answer. So those kind of aspects are there. Limitation is postal delivery time is a lag. Yani country to country this differs. So what is a lag that is in your postal system, that much you have to tolerate. Respondent may not fill all the questions. You do not have a control on it. Okay. He or she may not understand your question, and therefore he may pass it or he may give a wrong reply. Uncertainty of meeting response number of targets. While you are face to face, you are monitoring daily, you can put required pressure. In this, you will come to know at the end of the time or closer to the time whether you are going to get that many number of response. Accuracy, because respondent has not access to clarity of questions or an answer option given, etc. Accuracies tend to be lower than the personal interview. Okay. Then comes the third, which is a third survey method, which is a telephonic method. It allows you to reach to the larger number of respondents in a shorter period of time, assuring you the required coverage. So you tend to probably get a required number of coverage that is needed for a survey. Allows you to explain the question, which is also an advantage of, say, personal interview. Allows you to also explain the answer, clarify doubts, etc. And when you do it, and a response is supposed to be close to his real sense, and therefore, and other than there is a noise barriers and those things, otherwise the respondent is also the one who receives the response also is supposed to enter the right answer. Ideal for capturing feedback of a program going live or radio, TV advertisement, etc. And convenience of a respondent can be considered for fixing a suitable time. Here generally what happens, either the direct call is made and respondent is asked, but the number of questions will be less, so there is no formality and other thing needed. Otherwise, many times a lengthy questionnaire is sent, respondent is told that we will call you back have this handy, and when respondent call, when the interviewer calls up, he expects that you pull out that question, and then he or she starts asking you question by question and enters. Both approaches are possible. Limitations of this particular telephonic survey method, some of them are you do not know who is actually answering you. Okay, so you may have a certain profile in mind and you have called up, and then you are told that okay, I will answer, but then whether it's the right person is answering or not, you don't know. Non-committal answers are more likely, and people knows that you are, he is not been observed, people knows that after the call there is no other binding on him, etc. No personal information can be gathered, so you cannot really gather required demographic and other crucial data, many times required for the analysis, dissecting the analysis in a different way. You cannot do an in-depth survey. In-depth survey is more a qualitative survey, and where a lot of discussion has to take place, even moderation has to take place, so that cannot happen. Okay, internet survey, which is a new age survey after the birth of email, etc., and a computer, this thing, this particular medium is becoming possible. It is possible due to this method among professionals and working class. You can, however, do this among only the people who are knowledge savvy, who are believer of such approaches, etc. The identified respondent gets a link. He is been given an email in which objectives and all are given, and that there is a link is given. Link, when clicked, takes him to the survey form, and there he has a ability to feed in the data. There are either prefixed options given, or he's been asked to explain, etc. So within the time frame, the possibility of getting the required number of response, etc., is also very high. You can follow with the same medium again, email can be sent at a regular interval, or this thing, etc. So that's the power, and then auto feeding of our data, no manipulation, expectation wise, person is given this in the right frame of mind. Data is collected and obtained in a very structured manner, so that analysis and all become faster. That's another advantage. Google form or Survey Monkey, these are the one which if you have used, you know that, an internet survey method. This method is quick to implement, quick to test run. You can test run it quickly, you can quickly reach out to thousands and people, create a follow-up mail quickly, etc. It breaks the geographical boundary also, like you can reach out far and wide. That's what it trying to tell you. Survey participant can be prompted also. So there are certain government surveys, or there are certain other nature of surveys which are open to public type. So then the participation is garnered through the various ways of communication, banner ad, pop-up ad, etc. Maybe the incentive can be offered to the participant. So early birds will get, or something, available at the back. People are told that, this survey findings will be shared with you, etc. So the people who are keen to know what is happening on that front, etc., are willing participants. So because they are getting something, so it can be incentivized also. Thank you.